show, we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that when Ezekiel was out there by himself, he had visions of you. Literally, he saw something, was designated your presence, and gave information concerning yourself. And we know the same with Brother Branham. In this end time, Lord, the pillar of fire, we have the picture. We believe absolutely that is your grace that did that, Lord. And we know that you talked to him, Father, and he came back and gave us a witness concerning you and your works. And in there, he definitely let us know that once you were cast out of the church, which you were through organization, denomination, the people turning away from truth, that you came back to see a bride, and actually with that bride, you literally curried favor with her by manifesting yourself and doing signs and wonders, answering prayer, showing forth your power. And Lord, we know that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we believe you're still doing it. We believe, Lord, that we are remiss this morning by not realizing that you are actually doing these things for us to gain our favor, which is the most tremendous thought. It's actually formidable. When we would try to think of it in terms of who you are and what we are, we just cannot even believe it, Lord, in ourselves. But if the prophet said so and you told him, then it's the truth. That's exactly what you did. You came to gain favor amongst us, and we're grateful. And may we not forget that, Lord, that you are the Lord that heals us. You are the Lord that supplies. You are a great Savior. There is nothing that is not in thee, Lord, even to the extent now this hour, to taking us right through to immortality. And whatever is necessary to go between that time, that's supplied for us too. May we understand that you are God who supplies all of our needs by your riches and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, who died and rose again, is now in the right hand, even yea, ascended to the throne, being our mediator, actually great high priest as never before, and we coming in more and more from a shadow to substance, Lord. What a happy people we are this morning. What a prosperous people. What a blessed people. Surely, Lord, there is nothing overtaken us or shall overtake us, but we're more than able through your strength to be more than conquerors through Christ our Lord. We thank you for that privilege this morning. Bless everyone in divine presence. May there not be one feeble one amongst us, as the prophet prayed, and we know that's true. We know it's possible. We're looking forward to it, Lord. We thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're looking at the messages which we've been dealing with. Some of the things that Brother Branham said that we feel have been taken a little out of context. Or not so much out of context, perhaps, but although that's true, but giving it an extended meaning, which is what you might call slanted, and in favor, perhaps, of a ministry, in contradistinction to a disfavor of the people. Now, we are a true democracy, where Brother Branham said the pastor is subject to the church, and the church subject to the pastor. And we'll be going into that as we go along, and you'll be seeing different phases of it. Now, the first thing we looked at was that the pastor is the spiritual husband of the church. Now, that, of course, is a local affair, because otherwise it would smack greatly of Nicolaitanism. Brother Branham would be the only one who could qualify across the board as the pastor to the entire bride. Even as he said, Elijah was pastor to Ahab and also to Jezebel, which, bringing it right down to the truth of the matter, was that whether they recognized him or not, there were 7,000 who hadn't bowed the knee, and though he was definitely their pastor in the true context of the Word of God, he was also the pastor of the others because he came as a messenger to them, for they purported to be the servants and the bride of Christ. You got the same thing right today in this situation we have in the seventh church age, where people are worshiping God, supposedly, not knowing literally, they're worshiping the devil because they're going through a system, they're going through a certain order and a procedure. And don't think that's strange that they can literally worship Satan by going through an order and procedure, because we are doing the same thing to get to God. Let it sink in. We've got lots of time. It's a strong statement, but it's true. We have our order and our procedure. It started right back in the time of Cain. Now, Cain could boast and say he was worshiping God. If he was, how come God threw him and his sacrifice out? So you got a good question here. You see, he was worshiping God falsely. That's true. Who did he listen to? Satan. Who is he following? Not God. Who is his allegiance to? Not God. And who is his worship to? Not God. It's kind of rough. Kind of rough on the old carcass, but it's good. It's better to know now than to wake up in hell, like the rich man, when it's too late. So, we're looking at this thought that Brother Branham said the pastor is a spiritual husband. And he is to the local church. We looked at the thought that many people are prone to forget that he said the pastor is the husband. He didn't say the husband is the pastor. So, the fact of the matter is you are looking primarily at a pastor who is not truly a husband as much as he is pastor. But as a pastor, he will be acting in a type as a husband. So, you have to study carefully the word pastor. And you come up understanding the word pastor is shepherd. That's all it is, shepherd. So therefore, the shepherd is the husband. So therefore, he will be shepherding as a husband shepherds. And we looked at all of those points in the scripture. We studied, even in 1 Corinthians 7 last Wednesday, the relationship of the husband and wife, how that would fit in with the pastor in a spiritual context. We looked over there in the book of Numbers how that when a daughter or especially a wife would make a vow in the presence of her husband, and if he said, no, we won't tolerate that, there's no way the vow would stand. But if he allowed the vow to stand, then of course even if he died, that vow had to be kept. So we saw then how it was that the church must have a merging of the minds, like Brother Branham said, church subject to the pastor, pastor subject to the church. There is a moving together. There is a going ahead together of the people understanding what's in the mind of the pastor and he understanding what is in the mind of the people. And so therefore, as the time Brother Branham did this beautifully when back in about 1961, it was, they began, they said, we want to really develop a new church. And so they consulted with him and he said, now if that's what you really want, we take a vote on it. He said, all right, the vote says yes. The trustees then are told to raise the money because that's what the church wanted. Now, Brother Branham himself was not too worried about another building. He was content to be what he was and to be in that position with that building. But he said, if this is what you want, this is what we're going to go for. We have the same situation here. If you know, to me, I could preach anywhere because the fact of my ministry, like Brother Branham's, it has an outreach. And the peculiar thing about his outreach was more than local. Mine was more of, like, mine. It was at that time, and you know, for several years, more of an outreach than it is local. But I'm interested very much with you in a building because I like a place to preach so the tapes can go out and the things that my ministry entails. So we get together and we find that we can see eye to eye on things. Sometimes we don't quite see eye to eye because we're not too good at planning buildings. And we know even now that we could have planned the building a little different, but it's going to be perfectly fine the way it is. I always have like a kind of a square building, but the building like this suits me fine. I don't worry about my eye spine, it's my span. I worry about whether my eyes are in tune with the Spirit of God and the Word is in tune. And because you can hear back there, regardless, we have good acoustics somehow. So we see that the pastor then, though he's a spiritual husband, you have to be very careful where you put the emphasis so that you don't overemphasize and go to a place where it becomes really dictatorial and it becomes interfering with the homes and all. It must never do that. And we saw that in so many men's ministries in this message. And sometimes I have to speak so negatively, I have to keep warning you, look, we are at the end time of the Exodus. It parallels the time of Moses. And about 2 million people went out of Israel at that time to go into the Promised Land. Only 2 over 20 got in. So that means there was a terrible mixed multitude. And they raised enough ruckus and everything else to where God said, Moses, step aside. I'm just going to get rid of the whole bunch. I'm sick and tired of them. And Moses, in the spirit of Christ, said, no, I don't want to raise up a new race under me, though that's your promise, you would do it, because he could have done it because the bloodlines were there. No problem at all. It could have been done. No problem at all. God could have done. But Moses said, no, I stand in the breach. If you destroy them, destroy me. Because look, what will the people say, the heathen round about us? And so God spared them. But they all died, foolish virgin, and the unbelievers, the mixed multitude, they all died off, you see. So, and you look at the condition there. So I have to keep you in mind that when I speak of these things, we also are in the same element and atmosphere of having come out of Babylon. And if you hear, before Brother Branham passed away, I think, I can't remember the exact words, but he told somebody that already in Tucson he had 17 different interpretations, or 37 or something, what he believed. No, that's the way it is today. You're looking at a situation which, in my estimation, is entirely untenable with what Brother Branham taught. And yet it is tenable on the grounds that it's going to be that way because Alpha's Omega. And Omega's Alpha. You're not going to change it. So we have to look at all these negative angles in order to bring out what is 100% true. As Brother Branham says, it takes a bad woman to make the good woman look good. Well, sure, that's the truth. What he's trying to say is this. You see a lot of women out there that are a real mess. You really begin to appreciate the lovely ladies that come, the sisters that come to our church. And you have to realize, though, you're out there looking at what's going on out there in the world, and you abominate it the same as God does. You don't get carried away with it. You say, well, that's it. There's the good ones. And what we're looking at here is to throw the light on the darkness in order to dispel darkness for those that do not want to continue in darkness. But remember, there are people, no matter how much you warn them, will never listen to the truth. They must sit under someone who is a totalitarian dictator and wants to just govern their lives because they're a bunch of legalists. They never will learn freedom. But I don't mean by that that you go out here and drink liquor and say, well, if I just take two beers, it's okay. I go out here to Hoochie Coochie Show and just, you know, win for a half an hour. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who just simply can't help themselves because they're legalists. And they'll never do anything for them. They're so completely taken over. And I'm sorry for them. And I say, well, people like that, I just wish they, if they're around me, I wish they'd go someplace else, which I don't know that they're around me. Because they're not getting anything from my message. They just can't do it. Because I want to present the word, and what we've got in our souls is the determining factor. That's exactly right. I can't change the determining factor in your soul, and you can't change in mine. But, so we look at the word of God. Now, another thing that Brother Branham said, which people use a great deal of, he says, stick with your pastor. He's ordained to see you through. Now, that, to many people, is like a minister as a strong pillar of steel with a lot of magnets around him. And he just sort of sucks you in like, and, you know, on you latch onto him, kind of. And it's like a magnetic pull. And he'll see you through by the fact that you stick with him. Like it's an idea, like a bird or a dog. You stick. And somehow, you'll make it because you have that stick-itiveness, the stick-to-itiveness. You have that loyalty. Hogwash. Balaam's crowd stuck with him. Corin, Dathan, Byron's crowd stuck with them. And I heard by my Bible that fire opened up from the earth and sucked up the last three I mentioned, and their gang. And the last thing I read in the scripture was that Balaam died fighting Israel. For all his highfalutin prophesying, which is still being, and I don't mean that word bad, is way up there in the top bracket, and it's still being fulfilled today. And I know from the scripture that man will go to the lake of fire. I don't understand the Bible. I don't think he's foolish virgin, period. No way, shape, and form. So, the minister is not a person who, because you stick with him, is going to see you through. Actually, from what we studied on the husband situation and what you know about it, which has been used to the detriment of the people, I would say that according to John and Peter, there is an obligation on the part of the pastor to do all that he can so that no sheep will lose out. The word ordained is actually commanded. The minister is commanded to see you through. In fact, his obligation to the sheep is so strong that it goes to the very extreme. It's desperate to the extreme. Let's just start out by reading a little bit of scripture. This is a parable, but I'm going to take it as an illustration because it's a good one. It illustrates. It's going to be Matthew 18, and beginning at verse 11, just read about four verses. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. He actually is seeking to save, and Luke says that. How think ye? In other words, put this to your thinking concerning this statement. If a man have 100 sheep and one of them go astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? Now you notice he doesn't say he just walks on the plains where it's nice and easy. That sheep has gone to a treacherous place, and the pastor extends himself to the treacherous place because a shepherd is a pastor. Verse 13, if so be, find it verily, I send you, your rejoices more than that over that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Now, you'll notice here that sticking with the pastor, evidently this sheep did not stick with his pastor. He got out of control. Now, this is an illustration. I am not explaining the parable because the parable goes in a different direction entirely. But we're talking about pastors being shepherds, right? So we're going to illustrate what Jesus said here. He said the shepherd or the pastor, either term, because I could say, does not the pastor go out and seek? Because he's shepherd. No matter where you use the word shepherd, put in pastor. Or you see the word pastor, put in shepherd. So the pastor has someone here that's really gone off the deep end. Now, we know that the sheep has not stuck with the pastor. So therefore, the pastor must stick to the sheep. Because he's ordained to see them through, if they're sheep. In other words, it isn't just the congregation that's stuck with the pastor. It's the pastor that's stuck with the congregation. So that he must expend all the energy necessary and throw all his resources into helping those that are astray if they can be helped. Now notice my words. Throwing his resources into it. Because this illustration here, it's a parable, says there's 100 sheep, that's 100%. 99 are safely in the fold. One has left the fold. And he's in great danger of being destroyed in Palestine. There's a panther there that kills sheep, without a doubt. There's a panther, still lives. He thought he was gone, but he's still living. There's a few. And there's also other animals that the Bible speaks of wolves. There must have been there. Animals that were destroyed. Now, this man then leaves the sheep. Now, it doesn't mean that he leaves them as though he leaves them, period, and devotes all his time to this one person. But it shows that he throws his energies into keeping the sheep. Now, that's what we're looking at here. In my understanding, as we are talking about sticking with your pastor, I would say it's in the sense of the sheep that understand they have the best chance in the world with the ordained minister over them. And it means that that man truly ordained, if this fellow really goes out and causes a misdemeanor of the most unqualified order so that he is really looks like a goner, it's up to the pastor to see and take every measure he can that he would throw into the welfare of 99. Now, you heard my statement. The effort he'd throw into the welfare of 99, he would throw into the effort of getting that one person, if that person could be retrievable. In the book of John, the 10th chapter, the 11th verse, he said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now the question is this. What gross, spiritually darkened people could not want to stick to a pastor who's giving his life for them? I just say this. If you were that kind of people here, I wouldn't even waste my time on you. Because the Bible's still a life for a life and an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The pastor can give his teeth. It's a pretty rotten congregation. It doesn't spit up at least one tooth. The pastor can give his life to the Word of God and the things of the Lord. It's a pretty despicable congregation that cannot respond with some type of enthusiasm and some type of fruit. So we're looking at this thing the way it must be looked at. But the pastor must be willing to dedicate his life, because that's what his life is all about. That's why the ministry is so highly specialized. And yet there's an overlapping in every single one of the fivefold ministers. In fact, though the teacher can handle the Word of God better than any pastor, at least he better be able to. He's not a teacher. The pastor will have teaching quality, because he must be apt to teach. He's got to teach. Also, no pastor will evangelize like the outstanding evangelist is really a fivefold member. He's a real evangelist, but he has to evangelize through the work. There's none, actually, even in teaching, there is no time when the bars are ever let down to the place where souls cannot be convicted of a rightness and a wrongness. You don't leave it just to the evangelist. So the ministries by the Holy Ghost are like an enfolding of flame and then unfolding, where we see the minor and the major. We see the predominant and the subdominant. See? So, all right. This man here gives his life as a pastor. And the pastor's major problem is holding the hands of the people. So there's problems. He will diffuse the problem rather than add to it. And you will notice that this is not going on now in churches. The pastors are taking stands that do not diffuse the problem. And it is over personalities. You listen to me. I will see you through. I will be there. And you will get there. And because of me. Hogwash. If you people believe that, I'm leaving tomorrow. Because I can go tomorrow. Take my ministry with me. I'll always have one. You will not get there by leaving. Let me tell you flat. There's nothing in me to give you any commendation there and think, well, I can hold on and do it. You see, there's certain things in here we're going to talk about the pastor. Okay, let's go down to Romans, the 16th chapter, and we'll look at a couple of verses, namely 3 and 4. And Paul is saying here to the people in Rome, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. It's not Priscilla and Aquila, it's Aquilus, as I would ask you, because it's not a husband and wife to my knowledge. History, I think, proves that these are two men that Paul had with him. Notice, who for my life have laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Now, you'll see here that it is incumbent upon a true pastor to let the people know that sticking with him to see them through involves his whole life. That's what he's there for. Not to be served, but to serve. See? Now, it's not that he won't be served in certain areas, but actually, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to lay down his life, and he said, I am the good shepherd. So, and he said, my sheep follow me, and everybody that came before me are thieves and robbers. Now, if you stick with me, you are going to make it. Now, you understand that this is the primary thing we're looking at, what we call vicarship. He that has seen me has seen the Father, 100%. See? He said, I am here, and the Father is in me. Now, you begin to put that down into the trickle down or the step down, which we're looking at, and he allows the pastors to be called shepherds. Then, what he says here in the scripture concerning himself is valid concerning the pastor if you water it down and place it exactly where it belongs. The pastor can be a good shepherd. And by sticking to him, he will positively know that he's ordained to see you through, and you've got confidence that he will, and together you're moving by the same Spirit. Because Jesus said, the things that I am doing, I'm not doing myself, but God knows he was doing them. It's the Father in me that's doing them and doing the work. So with the pastor. And when the pastor will come to that place, he can say, you stick with me. I'm ordained to see you through. And the thing is this, he's ordained to see you through whether he twists it, perverts it, understands it, or believes it himself, or doesn't. The responsibility lies upon the pastor. Now you can say what you want, brother, sister. Now we'll get into why. Now, all right. We look again at Hebrews 13, which is my stand in the word that Brother Branham brought us. In the 17th verse, we read, obey them that have the rule over you. Stick with them. Listen to them. Do what they say. They've got the rule over you. Now, remember the words in the resurrection of Jesus to Peter. Peter, lovest thou me? He said, yea, Lord. Yeah. He said, use the word filial love. You know that I love you, where Christ used the word agapio, love. And you know those two words are used, one of which means the highest possible order. It doesn't just mean the love of God, although it has to mean the love of God, because there's not another word for it. But it's the agapo love that you could love as a gambler. You could love your booze. You could love women. You could love men if you're women. That's just where you put everything. That's the agapo love. It should go to God, but it's going elsewhere. Well, he said, Peter said, filial love to the agapo. And he asked me, Peter, do you love me more than these? He said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. Once more, it was the same thing. The third time. And then Peter was grieved because he knew he hadn't caught the truth. He said, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. That was the agapo love, which is now the greatest love in my life is you. Now you're looking at the right thing. Now, the first time he said to Peter, feed my sheep. The second time he said, rule my sheep. The third time he said, feed my sheep. Now, as I said before, the Catholics, they rule, rule, rule. The Protestants, feed, feed, feed. It is not true. It is rule, rule and feed and rule. And when you do it, you come up to what Paul is saying here. Obey them that have the rule over you. And up in verse 7, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, whose revelation you're to follow, considering the end of their behavior. In other words, watching if they believe what they themselves are telling you. See? Then reading on down here in 17, for they watch for your souls. All right. If somebody's watching for your soul, what kind of a person are you, intellectually and spiritually, that you'll just dump them? Or on other hands, if they're watching for your souls, how doltish can you be if they're not really watching for your souls? Because you've heard some stupid statement, not made by Brother Branham, but by a preacher that wants to twist it. Stick with me and you'll make it. Listen, that's Protestantism. That's Catholicism. Stick with the Catholic Church and go to hell. Stick with the Presbyterian Church and go to hell. Be my guest. And don't talk to me. They're all the same. Back in Canada, we had a Father McDonald. They finally shipped him up because he got too many girls pregnant. I go up to here to Buffalo. And the first thing I find a little town called, I think, Silver Creek. What happened there? A Presbyterian minister, a doctor's wife, a dentist, was going to commit suicide. She jumped out of a 3-4-story building. They found that she's pregnant by the preacher. And they found about 8 women were pregnant by the preacher. So much for your stinking clergy. Catholics, pa! They had their convents to take care of the kids, the nunneries, and the monkeries to take care of the monkiness. Protestants are no different.
Don't tell me from the Garden of Eden has been the same old story, and right today the world is dying because of AIDS and pestilential diseases because of people won't watch themselves, one woman, one man. That's what you got to need, the bride of Christ, one woman, one man. That's the way the church has got to be, too. She's got to be one in her spirit. There's got to be one man at the head with the right spirit. Stick to a preacher. Not teach the word of God. Fat. Or have some charisma about him that sucks people in so clever. He'll say, I don't believe that preacher been preaching a sermon. You look at me and you'll miss it. And turn right around and suck you right in with platitudes and something else. The master of the charismatic lie. Well, Lee Vale don't got it, brother, sister. What you see is even what you don't get, because you ain't going to get it. One thing we stand on right here is the word of God. Obey them and have the rule over you. Then where does the rule lie? It lies in you and it lies in me, one word. If I've got a word for me and I've got a word for you, there's something wrong with me. And if you've got a word for you and another different for me, there's something wrong with you. Don't say, well, bless God, we want a preacher that doesn't fool women. And you fool with women? We want a preacher's wife that doesn't look at men. And you wives look at men? Come on. Bunch of hypocrites. I'm not saying you, I'm just saying that's the way it is. Don't go compassing the buck and be this and that. I'm a nice guy. You might not believe it's true. I'm telling you the truth. Let's read it again. Obey them that have the rule over you. Obey is obey. It means you listen and do what they say. Providing. It's the word. Providing is the word. Now look at this up here. Let me read the seventh verse again. Remember them that have the rule over you. He's talking to remember them. In other words, the care of the people that do it. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. And notice, I like the phraseology. Who have simply spoken unto you the word of God. They haven't nailed it down. They haven't drilled it into you. They haven't made you do anything. They just spoke it to you. And something in you says that's the way to go. Whose faith follow? Now look it. They say, well, hey, these preachers, and I've heard this factually, I know what I'm talking about. You will make it by listening to me, by my revelation. I want to tell you something. You cannot make anything by Lee Vale's revelation. You've got to have your own. Furthermore, I don't have a revelation. Brother Branham had the revelation. Now, here's the difference between me and a lot of preachers and a lot of guys in this world. I am doing my best to teach what I believe to be the revelation Brother Branham brought. Those are my words. They're on dozens of tapes. And I'll say it again. I'm doing my best to teach what I believe to be correctly identified, saying the same thing as the prophet's revelation. I cannot prove it. But up to date, I've seen it change people's lives, brother, sister. Change spirit in the church entirely. And where men have listened to me in the congregation have been changed and made radical changes. I'm not saying it couldn't be done to somebody else. I'm just saying that's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a fruitage. I'm seeing it. Consider their behavior. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, what's he saying? The real word, the real pastor, is Jesus himself. He's the real ruler. There's no great ones amongst us. Just the great one himself, the Holy Ghost. There's no holy man except the Holy One, the Holy Ghost. And be not carried with divers and strange doctrines. Now, the major thrust of the word of God is doctrine. It is not do this and thou shalt live. Don't do or do this other thing and you'll die. It is not that at all. Listen, with this is fresh in your mind. Please turn back with me once more to the third chapter of the book of John. And if I got him, each one he come up here and swear, not on the Bible, not on God, but knowing there's a Bible open here and a God in heaven, who hears your word, do you really understand what's being preached from this pulpit? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now you gotta believe in him to get everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now that's believing in him. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Now, what is the main thrust here? They don't believe in the name of the Son of God. They haven't got a revelation of Him. In His name shall the Gentile trust is the major thrust of the ministry of Jesus Christ come back in a pillar of fire. Now, what you're looking at is this. We're trying to show you here. Taking from the book of Hebrews back here. Cain carried not with divers and strange doctrines. The divers and strange doctrine starts right with this. Turning down the light of the epical season according to Peter. According to Brother Branham. According to the Word of God. It's turning down the light. It's turning down the present revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look. It says here, God does a thing the way He does it. Hebrews 13 and 8. He has His prophet. He brings the word. Don't you then be carried with anything other than what that man brought you. He tells you. This is what we are supposed to teach, is what the prophet taught. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Then he goes down below, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, and they do it with joy, and not with grief. It's unprofitable for you. Now, what am I saying here? The pastor's job is primarily to preach the Word of God, and if you can't take it, he's skunked. It's over. Because you can't get saved without a revelation. That's why people are lost today. It's not they don't have a lot of churches. It's not that they're not preaching Christ. It's not that they're not preaching the blood, the baptism, and these things. They are not preaching the truth. There's a bunch of lies mixed up with it. Divers doctrines. See? They're wrong. So therefore, they're not going to get off the ground. Now, what about you as a people? What about any congregation? The obligation of the pastor is to teach that doctrinal truth. Then, if there's anything in that word, the light, and anything in the person, a life will come forth. Actually, people today need a minimal amount of teaching on behavior. You say, why? Because the Apostle Paul distinctly says, if the heathen by nature do what the Gentiles are supposed to do by the revealed law of God and don't do it, then the Gentiles are a source of condemnation to the Jews. So the Bible tells me already that you and I know what morals are from in contradistinction to what immorals are, or the unmoral. And what are we looking at? We're looking at the truth. And there's an obedience to it. And now this is what we're looking at also. We're looking at the fact that Paul said the Corinthian church, which was divided over leadership. The leadership got in there and tried to split congregations. And Paul said, Was Paul crucified? Was Peter crucified? He said, no. He said, I didn't even baptize except a tiny number. So lest they say they're baptized in my name. But he said, I brought you a dynamic revelation that was proven by God Himself. See? And he branded the schisms and the things in the church as being wrong. And he said, now, I wish above all else in your church, and he started writing the first chapter of 1 and 10. 10 verse. Did you all speak the same mind? You all say the same thing. Now, Paul over here says the same thing in Hebrews. Remember, those which have the rule over you have spoken unto you the word of God. The pastors will speak what Paul spoke. And the people will speak what the pastor spoke. And they will be one mind there. And if you cannot be one mind there, then let me tell you this. You will not be one mind down the road. This is the starting point. This is the foundation. The truth of Jesus transformed people's lives. When the voice said to Paul, he said, why do you persecute me? It's hard to kick against the pricks. He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus that did it. From then on, he went to the desert. And he came back a man, fully aware of God, and ready to die 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times over. He gave himself unceasingly for the people of God. Now, what did he start with? It started with the word, brother, sister. Paul said, I'm condemned because of the doctrine I preach, the way that I worship. We are condemned here and will be condemned here by people. because of the way we worship. I heard something which I do not believe. I heard a long time ago, never said it to you before. But now certain people went to Africa. Brother Bob Brown went down there, Brother Morris Unger went down. They tell me in Africa on television that people swear. They saw the television, the Pope hold a book called Spoken Word and said, this is our enemy. I don't believe it. Could be, but I don't believe it. Could be right, but I doubt it. If it is, it's a sort of a recognition that this will be the one thing that they'll have to fight. Serpent seed and all these other things in the Word of God, what really happened in Eden. And yet we preach nothing that was not known through the ages before, except what was sealed up under the thunders. And that all boils down, brother, sister, to one little set of scriptures, Revelation 10, 1 to 7, where God himself is obligated to come down and a prophet standing there to tell us the truth. That's all it comes down to. And that comes down to once more God tabernacling human flesh. Oh, I know, brother, sister. It exposes what has been going on for centuries, where people had their way by votes and every political intrigue to be the somebody for God. It's over! You bet it's over. If we ever get enthused and imbued with that, we'll be getting somewhere. Everything else is shoddy and tawdry beside it. So you see, it's not the personnel in the pastor. This kind of gimmick and that kind of gimmick boils on right down here. It says, remember them kindly in all your ways, those that spoke to you the word of God. You follow them. If they're following the word, you follow them. If they're not, well, you get away from them. You don't want that. Brother Band said, a man preaches error, get away from them. Even dying of sickness, he said, don't fool with the charismatic. Stay away from that stuff. Her down in Jack Bell's church with dying cancer, if I knew there was healing down there, by some gift, I wouldn't go down, she said. You say, well, what kind of life is that? She's stupid. No, she's not stupid. She's basing everything on what's vindicated, not something not vindicated. Gifts are no vindication. You could even go to a fortune teller and get help. Obey then have the ruler of you. Submit yourselves and submit yourselves for they watch for your souls. Now, what are you submitting to? Are you submitting to the pastor or to the word? To the word. If he's off the word, you don't submit, period. You get away from. Now, that's tough preaching, but if I'm doing wrong, get away from me. I told my wife, if I mess up, for God's sake, don't you mess up. I say the same thing to you people here. In the meantime, don't you try to mess me up. But I'll tell you, you can come out fighting. Believe me, I'll come out fighting 10 times worse than you can ever fight. Because I'm well skilled, brother, sister. You're an amateur alongside of me. Not kid yourself for 1 minute. I can get answers. You cannot get answers. See, you stand pretty strong. You bet I stand pretty strong. I'm not kidding myself. Don't you kid yourself either. This word is what we're looking at. I've got one exclusive hope. If this word doesn't do it, I'm shot. I'm gone. And I'll stand in judgment for every single one of you, not just for my sins, but for yours. I've led you astray. You bet I'm ordained to see you through. No one else in this church has that calling. No several people, no body of believers has that calling. I've got it. And I'm obligated. My obligation starts to preach this word without any strings. To preach it exactly as the Apostle Paul preached it. I'm not saying the Apostle Paul, but I've got to have the very same in my heart as he had. And he said, for our gospel is hid. No, he said, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I can't fulfill the last part, proving anything, but I can have the right spirit. And if our gospel then is hid, it's hid to those that are lost. Let me go now and show you something in the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, and I stand on this 100%. And I know Brother Branham had to stand. Every prophet has to stand on it. Nobody else can do different. They got to stand on it. The 17th verse of Acts 20, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the very first day that I came from Asia, that's Asia, into Asia Minor, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, man of all seasons, not Sir Thomas More, this is a man of all seasons, don't worry. Anybody fooled by history. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and many fears and temptations which befell me by the lying and way of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was proper. Now notice, how I kept back nothing that was proper from you. He spilt his guts. But showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. In other words, I never changed when I was preaching in the church or a bunch of people or talking to individuals. It was the same story. Testifying both to the Jews and to the Greeks. Repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I wasn't like a preacher running around now. He's a real comedian. If he came here, he'd preach presence. He'd go to somebody else's church. He'd turn his back on it. Hogwash. I ain't got time for that stuff, brother, sister. You can see his fruit, too. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying, bonds and afflictions abide me. And none of these things move me, neither count on my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and my ministry, or even my ministry, which I have received of the Lord, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. In other words, he had one thing. Paul was a preacher. I'm going to use a very vulgar vernacular. He shot his mouth off day and night in the gospel of Christ. But he don't like a lot of people. This shooting from the lip was a pure word of God. But I want you to notice that this man was on fire with the word. The gospel of grace. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Now he said, I preached the gospel, I preached in the kingdom. Before he preached Jesus Christ. You get it all, see? Wherefore I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now watch, why? For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Why was Paul free from the blood of all men? Because he handled the word of God, for God, in the spirit of God, the way God wanted it. That's all. He was 100% free. No more blood on his hands. Neither has William Branham any blood in his hands, and by the grace of God, I won't have blood in my hands either. To preach exactly what I see in here, I cannot preach other than I see. If I've seen wrong, I got to come back and correct it. At this time, I've had a minimal amount of correction, which has been really nothing but sliding into the higher understanding of it, so I can see it. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Now watch. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What is the number one element of a good pastor? Number one in the pulpit is to feed. Number two outside the pulpit is to bring people together and settle differences. Not everybody does it. It's supposed to be done. That's why I feel you should have a man that's really qualified to be a pastor here working right along. For I know this, watch, after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. What did Jesus say the wolves were? Charismatics. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away to substance. He said, the church is going to split when I'm gone. Your local church is going to split by people rising up inside and others coming in. Nice picture, eh? Well, I'm not going to try to change it. I've told you we got 150 seats here. By tomorrow morning, Monday the 28th, they go 150 different directions. But by the grace of God, I believe they won't. I'm kidding myself. Why should I kid you? Why should I kid me? You think pretending you got a $100 bill in your pocket and you really need it's going to do the trick? You better have the $100 bill there. We don't have to make believe here, brother, sister. This is not theoretical anymore. This is living proof. It's not theoretical. Whether you and I get it, it is not theoretical. Whether I'm a true minister of God, that's theoretical. It's not theoretical that there are true ministers of God. And I stand here and tell you you're going to make it because of Lee Dale. You're going to make it if on one condition. I have based you in the living word of the living God. I don't have any trouble from that point on. You say, brother, I don't believe some of those things. Be my guest. I'm not going to tell you to leave. That's your business. Your blood's not in my hands. No way, shape, and form. No, not a bit of problem. See, that's what I'm looking at here. So you're not going to find me fussing anybody. Now, he said, therefore, watch, remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn you, day and night with tears. This was a loving, compassionate man. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Notice, he didn't just commend him to God, to the word of his grace. Why would you commend anybody to God with no knowledge of God? Well, I commend you to God. Hell do you. I'm the preacher, pastor here. I'll commend you to God. Not unless I'd preach day and night the word of Almighty God, and even with tears. How am I going to commend you to God? Why, that's ridiculous. Say, God, take these people because I said so. What kind of talking is that from a pastor? Here I stand, Lord. I'm a great magnet or something. Great magnet. Thing sounds wormy to me. Pardon my humor, but I just have to let her go when it goes. And that's the way it's going to be. I commend you to God and to the word of even to the word of His grace. Let's use that word K in there. Kai. It can be used as a preposition as well as a conjunction. I commend you to God even to the word of His grace. Now we're getting somewhere. Which is able to build you up. You want to be edified? According to the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4, which we'll talk about later. How are you going to get it? Reading the funny papers? I'm not against reading funny papers. I read them all the time myself. Not against that. If you don't like them, fine, that's good. I'm glad you don't. I'll read them for you. I like a sly chuckle. You want to see some certain movies, it's okay. I don't fuss at anybody. Yeah, it's okay. Especially if they're decent things and all. But look at here. What's going to build you up? The word of grace. The word of grace. Grace, brother, sister, is what God did in this hour, allowing that in the face of Laodicea. Every table full of vomit. And God coming down and currying favor. What more could anybody want? Word of His grace. Then you think He came down to curry favor, to kick you out? And He says the pastor must be this kind of man, and the pastor that kind of man. And then He said, well, that's okay for them. I'm telling them, but I'm not that kind of a man. Oh, come on. All the pastors in God's creation couldn't hold a fingernail to the Lord Jesus Christ as the great pastor. Everyone born in sin, iniquity, and undone. Backsliding 1,000 times a day with wrong thoughts, everything else. But He's telling you and me, listen, let's get some pastors on the job, evangelists and ministers that understand this. I covet no man's apparel and so on and so forth. That's exactly what Paul did. Notice he said grievous wolves are going to come in. Now let's see what those grievous wolves were going to do to this little flock over here. And we're right back again to 2 Corinthians 11. You know I was going to go there. You know that automatically. He said, I'm jealous, or is it God be jealous? If I espouse you to one husband, I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He sure he will present a virgin. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What simplicity? What's going to happen? What are these men going to do, these teachers, these false teachers? For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, and they'll do it. They made him a trinity, a third God. Hogwash. This man was born of a woman through the divine intervention, creation of Almighty God, who put every one of his attributes into those two cells that made a virgin-born body. And she was nothing but a factory. And I don't mean nothing but as though you criticize her. I'm just trying to tell you what really happened. She's a wonderful, 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 blessed amongst women. Like godly women are. But now this year they're celebrating the Immaculate Conception. What's the Immaculate Conception? It doesn't mean that the woman was a virgin. It means that she hadn't sinned. Hogwash. If she didn't have a root of sin, then her father and mother didn't. And take it back to David. She goes from that to David. Joseph goes back to David. And they all sinned. Came short of the glory of God. Another hogwash idea like the Ascension of Mary. Protestants got the same hogwash. And you know why they're worse than the Catholics? Because they built the image to it. Yeah. Don't go looking around denomination, one denomination, Roman Catholic or Greek Orthodox. Let's look at the entire picture, brother, sister, where it is. The organization is of the devil. Who tried to kill Paul? Organization. When did the church start warring with organization? Never any other way. Rise amongst you. There ought to be rose up against John. That's why this church has one hope. One mind on the word and the sense to let everything go by the board until God's grace and mercy gives us the strength to overcome everything. Just love this word. If you can't love each other, love this word and come anxious for it. And if you can't sit like the guy you're sitting beside, I'm not going to feel too bad about you for doing that. Human nature's cruddy. But if you love the Word enough, pretty soon it won't matter who you're sitting beside. Yeah, it won't matter if you've got garlic breath or stink feet. It won't matter at all. It shouldn't have either one. Your church service. It's 120 degrees in the building or freezing. You come for one thing. You come for the Word of God. Paul said right here, he said, these grievous wolves would come in, they make another Jesus, talk about another spirit, and change the gospel. And they've done it. If they did that in the year before 90 A.D., what do you think 2000 A.D. is like? Anybody ought to know that it's gone plumb to the dogs the way the Scripture says. That's the way it is. All right, listen. Let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter now. I told you, you knew I was going to get there, and I'm getting to it now. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And notice what Paul says, striking on the doctrine. He said, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. That's the real calling. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, what is the unity of the Spirit? One word. One word. Because the Spirit only gives one word one way. Paul was a recognized messenger, prophet, apostle of his hour. So William Branham is the one vindicated apostle, prophet for this hour. Let's face it. There's one word. The word that he gave without deceit, without guile. He could have been a millionaire, died with multimillions. Gave what he did, wasn't interested. Now notice the doctrine. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. I'm Methodist. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it. Yes, glory to God. Presbyterian brother, you're going to make it too. Yes, Nazarene brother. Amen. You Pentecost. Hallelujah. Oh, boy. One body. One body, one spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Starting with Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ. One God and Father of all is above all, and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Nobody misses out the gift, the grace. Wherefore he said, he ascended up on high, led captivity captive, gave this unto men. Now he descended. What is it? He descended first to the lower parts of the earth. And he, remember, what the lower parts of the earth was by the Spirit, brother, sister. It wasn't his body didn't go to the lower parts. The body went to the great. And he that descended is the same one that sent up fireball of heavens. He might fill all things. That same one came back. The same one that preached to prisoners down there, preached to prisoners right here through a prophet. And we're preaching to prisoners right here, right now. No change. It's not sinking in. We've got a question on the white throne I'll be talking about. It's not sinking in. I don't blame you. First of all, you've got to accept it, and the Spirit will begin dealing with you. If you really, if you don't try to see a lot of things, brother, sister, just listen. One ask that I have that few people have, I ask very few questions. I have a habit of waiting for answers. I'm not saying you're wrong to ask questions. I understand. You ask your question, that's fine. You're in a different position from me. That same one that went up came down. Preaching, he preached right here through William Branham. Pete Harry's picture. And when he came down to the Apostle Paul, set the church in order, and he never took away, he gave some apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. And their job is the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, to bring the saints to a place of absolute conclusion and finishing off where God wants them. It's going to take a fivefold ministry. Now, he gave them so there would be ministries. He gave them to build up the body of Christ. To this extent, the perfection. We all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians 1:17-21. You've got it right now. Coming into full effect. Yeah, that's true. Let me tell you something. You're not looking down the road. Some of the people read this message looking down the road. Anybody in this church looking down the road, I want to tell you something. You have not heard what I've been saying. And you better start paying attention now. You thought I was going to say get out of here. But you're wrong. Just start paying attention now. Because you're missing what I've been telling you. It's ongoing, and we're looking at it, and we know what we're seeing. I am not looking down the road. I have no time for it. I'm looking now. What I see, I'm telling you. I've not withheld anything from you, for 15 split seconds. Unless I said, I'll tell you more about this next week or something. And if I forgot, I'm blamable. I didn't mean to forget. I hold nothing back from you. Till we all come in unity of faith, even the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, the stature, everything there, the knowledge, the fruit of it, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ's fullness come back in this age in a man. Gotta come back. Remember, Christ could not live his life for us in the flesh. It had to be in the spirit. He couldn't live through it. Now he did through William Branham. But it's coming into the bride here, and we saw the fullness revealed, according to Matthew 12, chapter. Now listen, that we henceforth be no more children. Now what's the end? We no more little children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Paul was not speaking of his day, because this had already happened. They had already been pulled apart. He said, I'm leaving you, and it's already started. The wolves amongst you, and the wolves coming in, didn't get this. This was future. This is Revelation 10, 1 to 7. This is Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. This is 1 Thessalonians, 4th chapter. This is chapters 4 and 12 of the book of Matthew. But speaking to true love, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, identifying itself in love. Now listen, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, that one that went down, came back in the form of the Holy Ghost. At the day of Pentecost, he began proliferating himself, little tiny bits. But he came back personally to the Apostle Paul to bring the word to the Gentiles, and he did. This day, he has come back again. Now, the first time he was here, the church was set in order, but the church bride fell. Now, let's understand, she fell. She did not get that which the knowledge to make her perfect. She did not get the stature of the fullness of Christ that caused her to grow up unto him. See? It wasn't time. So therefore they drifted and drifted. But all the while, the bride was coming up. And from Luther onward, the light was coming until headship returned. Right there, with a prophet, the way God had it in the first century through the Apostle Paul. Now listen, here's what happens today, that we do not be children. And Paul said in this same Bible, the Hebrews, you are children. You cannot understand Melchizedek. He said, you're little children. That's strong meat. Brother Branham came and preached the strong meat of Melchizedek. Now, at this time, we are able to be in a unity. And the unity is what? Word and preachers. Now get that flat, because that's the Bible. Now I would hate to think anybody in this church would rise up and try to come against the word, because there are too many people glad to carry out, and I'd have an awful fight in my hands to hold them down. At least I pride myself that, my God, by now we have some that understand. And really believe this word is this word is. No fooling, brother, sister. No fooling. We have arrived at this position, or that is all wrong. And if that's wrong, it's a counterfeit. And you can't have a counterfeit before you get an original. What did we miss? Nothing. This is the original. See? We'll be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, which is by the sleight of men, even cunning crafters, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, take the things of the prophet and make themselves a kingdom. I wouldn't mind if we all got wiped out. I wouldn't like it. But if we need wiping up, praise God. You know, be a little sober. I get a kind of chuckle out of you perverse things. Because look, I know only too well in my heart, hey, we are walking on very thin ice. We are treading on eggshells. We don't need to think we're somebody, preacher and congregation. We better walk softly before God and know there is somebody attached to this somewhere. I'm with Brother Branham. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there somewhere. There's got to be, brothers. by the grace of God, may we not stand in her way. By the grace of God, I believe we are bride. But I'm preaching this way, and these pigs will go around the world, and they'll be saying, there'll be a lot of criticism. This old Baal's trying to build a kingdom, trying to destroy this and that. I'm not trying to destroy anything, brother, sister. I've tried to build my brothers up in honor. I preferred them. I put men forward in this world. They've gone plumb around the world, different ones. Because absolutely I have lent every bit of my strength and carried behind him, and I have found myself deeply disillusioned. I find preachers putting people in bondage, and I find people still in bondage. They can't get it out of your heads. You chuck a guy that leads you into perversity. Merciful God in heaven, what is Jesus Christ like? Some kind of a hypocrite, some kind of a goat, some kind of a mass murderer, some kind of a Stalin, some kind of a Hitler, some kind of a Father Divine, Bishop Jones? What is he anyway, our high priest? Some mealy-mouth liar? Some double-dealing person? Shepherding a bunch of people that don't know right hand from left hand, that just want to run into sin? Brother, sister, I've got higher hopes of my God than that in the people of God. I live in hopes day by day that he'll do something for me. Listen, I tell you, I'm standing on this word like I take it for my healing. I take it for everything. If this word is not right, and the life cannot be released, I am gone. Because the life is in this word. And this word is in me. Then this must be released.
Amen.
You simply can't have it. You can't have it both ways, brother, sister. Now watch. They lie in wait to deceive. But holding the truth in love, speaking and holding, may grow up unto him in all things. Now all things, brother Branham, categorically said was the word of this hour. Plus the fact we're all things to God. For remember he spoke of those things to be shaken down, those things that remain cannot be shaken. He said that was the false cults and teenets and things of the world. So therefore remember in all things which is the head, everything in Christ. Now listen, from whom the whole body, now watch it now, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are at that position now with Christ in headship to produce a bride, not a local church. Now I wish it could be a pure local church. God have mercy, I wish we could. I cannot stand here and tell you a lie. He's going to have a bride that's got this, brother, sister, because he's working on it now. The love will come out of the word. Your actions will come out of the word. There's nothing that will not come out of this word, brother, sister. Absolutely. Now you notice that Ephesians 4 is a very heavy scripture to the sheep who want to make it. And it's a very heavy scripture in this respect. You are obligated, if you possibly can, to get yourself a pastor and a church. You need it. Now some cannot. So what do? Well, I'll tell you. Brother Branham allowed it. He advocated. Where they didn't have a pastor, pray for one, and play tapes. Why do you say, what about the fact that half a slice is better than no slice? I think that's a very true statement. But how far are you going to carry it? Is a half a slice to get the word of God to be brutalized? So the joy of the Lord is taken out of your souls? So that you exist for one purpose, to take care of a minister? You'll never say that here. My living comes from the outside. It doesn't mean it doesn't come from the inside too. Sure it does. But if I want to isolate myself 100% for the ministry on the outside, I'm well taken care of. And I don't hold that as a club over your head. I'm just telling you, look, let's face issues, brother, sister. I went down the road without a plug nickel hardy. I went down that road paying 20% of my gross, which is $39 and $45 a week. I don't say ask my wife, she'll tell you. She didn't have to yes me or not. She could lie and be a liar like me. Call over the bank accounts in those days. And Brother Branham, knowing, he said, I just got my quarterly check. I'd like to give it to you. So what for? Because he said, you need it. I said, not like you do. That little meeting we got, what? $44.35. My motel room alone was $39. Where'd the gas and the rest of the things come from? And the food and things. Now, you're not here to make me a living. I appreciate the fact that you do. If you're getting nothing for it, by all means tell me. We'll give you your money back. We'll get it for you. I'll help you to go someplace else. No problem. No problem at all. Brother, sister. I wasn't in it for the money before. I appreciate money like you do. I could spend $1 million tomorrow. Have a great time doing it. You'd all share, of course. Wouldn't be one you left out. I'd force you to take at least a month vacation with me somewhere. With the boss like they're none. Had to put a nail in your foot. Wouldn't be too hard. We just make sure you limped a bit. Come get a vacation. Oh, sure, you're all family. There's no problem there. I'm just saying these things because, look, as I say, tape's quote. And I want to clear from where we stand here that I am not preaching as a hypocrite. And I'm not trying to fuss at anybody, but I'm taking my stand with this word that I believe to be right. And I'm going to do it. Now let's look at the beautiful day we live in. The whole body. See, not like in Elijah's day, 7,000 hadn't bound any, nobody knew it. You're going to see a bride that's got the word and knows what to do with her, keeps crying. You're going to see a bride, a church, where the love of God is, the sweet spirit of Jesus Christ, the saints ready to come on back. There won't be one person not here. I'm depending on the Word of God the same as you are. Now listen, I know together we are not depending on it as we ought to depend. I know we don't have the zeal as we ought to have it. I know all of these things, but brother, sister, that does not alter the fact we've got it and we're looking forward to what is coming out of it. And you can't push God. When you start pushing God, brother, sister, you get in trouble because God will give you desires of your heart and He'll bring leanness to your soul. The thing is this, we want fat souls. Fat souls come by fat ears. Fat ears come by listening to the word of God that is brought by the prophet. And it gets down in here, and something begins to happen. Look, let me tell you flat. I can prove something happens when you do something. So the word of God is greater than all. So I'll bring some cayenne next Wednesday night, and you won't want me to. And I'll give you a half a teaspoon each in water, and you know that you swallowed some cayenne. Well, if cayenne pepper can do that, what about the Word of God? Don't tell me living Word is better than Word out here that made cayenne pepper. I mean, there's no better. The Word out here that created this is a better Word than what He's putting in you and me. This dies all the time. We've got something's way beyond that, brother, sister. I know, listen, let me tell you something. When Jesus came back and confronted the disciples and He told them the truth, it was just like a beautiful thing that could it really be true. It's that way with us. But listen, we're coming closer and closer to where suddenly it's going to grab us. I'm depending on it. I'm not depending on a man that grabs God. I'm depending on a God that grabs man. I am, honestly. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thy throne. He chooses and makes him come. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Not, I think they'll come, and maybe they'll come. They will come. And that's the way a congregation is, too, with this living word, because this living word is what we're talking about through the presence of Jesus Christ here. All right. Now, this minister, this pastor, is to be an example, and thereby he is to be a leader. Now, let's take a look at this. We're going to go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Now, I'm up for crucifixion on this. Don't worry. I'm not telling you something. I'm going to hang it on to all the preachers around the country and say, Lee Bale's got his little ivory tower here, and he sits pretty nice with a nice congregation, got them all food, and they take good care of building the church, everything else. And so he sits here and hits all us guys. Yet by the time I'm finished, you may want to carry me out of here and get yourself a real pastor. Well, that's your business. I told you this is perfectly okay by me to a certain degree. The certain degree is this. I wouldn't like it, but I could take it. I've been through a lot of things. I could take that. But I take my ministry. I go down the road saying, well, I don't think it's, I guess I blew it. But I'll try not to blow the next one. Okay, so that's the way life goes. Now, what does he say here? He said, the elders which are among you, that's 1 Peter 5, who I am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He saw that in Mount Transfiguration. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Now, why did Peter say that? Because that's what Peter said. Jesus said to Peter, feed my flock, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Happy, happy pastors. Glad to do it. That doesn't sound like some of them, but it should sound, they sound like the Lord's fivefold. Not a filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. In other words, not because you're paid, because you want to do it. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now then, how's he going to be an example? Through service. Preacher's wife will do the most cooking when she's able to. We got you young gals trained now, so keep it up. She's getting too old for that. And I got to help her, and that makes me take time off for things that I want to do. All right? Examples. Examples in giving. Examples in hospitality. Examples in doing. That's what it is. See? A ready mind. Being servants. Greater is he than all by being a servant to all. The greatest of all is a servant to all. See? Now watch. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, the pastors shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Why? Because they fed the flock of God, watched over them, because they loved to do it and wanted to do it, and became a servant to them. Now that's what the pastor's ordained to do. And when you got that kind of a pastor, which I don't say you got, because I'm not a real pastor. Let's understand that. I got my failings in certain areas, but I don't carry them out. But I do a certain amount. And it's obvious. The others are not obvious because they're not being done. But you see, you get a pastor like that, and who wouldn't stick with him unless he's a complete, miscreant, or he's a troublemaker, or you couldn't please him anyway. You know, there's just some people you can't please anyway. They don't know gourmet cooking when they see it, or feed on it. You know people like that? Yeah. Okay, let's go a little further. Let's go to John 13. I hope that's the chapter I wanted. If it isn't, we'll just have to pass that one by, but likely is. The 15th verse, as I believe it. Here Jesus said, "For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done." What was that? Humility overriding his own personal position and prestige. In other words, he was one of the boys. Will you show me a preacher that isn't human and therefore perfectly vulnerable? And you show me a preacher then who isn't perfectly human and born again, but can rise to where God wants it. They can do it. Congregation can do it. Preacher can do it. But it's based upon wanting what? The pure Word of God handled in the Spirit of God, and then a response in the Spirit of God, because Brother Branham said she'll have the Word and know what to do with it, or she will keep silent. Now, no pastor can do that. But he can help you. Like I trust by the grace of God, this pulpit here is trying to do it, to show you it is ours. And you know something? I believe we're getting it. I'm not at all concerned as though we're not going ahead. I believe we're going ahead. In fact, just the way you responded to building a church and all, I can see at least 800%, if not 1,000% or several 1,000% improvement. I'm just going to tell you flat. And I don't have to hang my head and do it. I'll just look in the eyes and tell you. Nice. What this you are? Everybody look in the eyes? Every single one? Fabulous improvement. Congratulations. I congratulate you. And I'm not sarcastic. Not at all. I mean exactly what I'm saying. It's a great privilege for me to say this. A tremendous privilege. All right. Paul speaking to this young fellow, Timothy, that became a pastor. Let no man despise thy youth. So this is for young people being pastors. But be thou an example of the believer. How? In word, then behavior, because conversation is behavior, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. In other words, be a little Apostle Paul. Every pastor is incumbent upon him to be a little William Branham. And I'm going to pull the blind down, bless with shame. But it's the truth. You know what? If you're going to talk William Branham, you should kind of live William Branham. If you talk Jesus, you should live Jesus. If you shepherd instead of Christ, you should actually take on quite a bit of him. Not by a vote. Hogwash. Fat, your mammy and pammy, pappy vote to go to Bible college. You come out a pastor. Bless God, you ain't nothing but a stinker. You know, you just, it's the same. Listen, they fuss at the Roman Catholics for voting in a pope. The Protestants do exactly the same thing in their own little stupid way. Don't look at anybody, brother, sister. I hold these up to our observation just to let you know we've got to leave all that stuff. There's no use talking if we don't leave it. The constant reminder is fine, but it is not fine if we don't leave it. Paul said, I count those things but dung. Now, if you're good with the Exodus, remember that the law of God said you had to carry a little paddle and dig a little hole and bury the dung. All right, let's do the same thing with this. We carry a paddle, a shovel, we know what to do with it. Bury it. And it's not that it doesn't repeat and come up, but the thing is, bury it. Get away from that stuff and leave it. No organization, nothing. That's a freedom of the Spirit of God. Listen, brother, sister, God can direct this church. God can direct the church. He doesn't, let's get out of it. Or let's start something that he can direct. What time? All right, that's enough time we've got. We haven't got time to rest the scripture. I'll just have time to cover this next Wednesday, just barely. Now, here's what you want to do. Some questions have come in already. One on the white throne, I want to discuss it with you. I want to tell you how to get your minds on it, how it works. It's a revelation. Other questions come in, I want you to put them on a piece of paper and give them to me. By the grace of God, I won't lose them. If I do, you just repeat them in the congregation. No problem. I'm sure I won't lose them, at least I'll try not to. I've got a couple right here. And you can get those questions in. Did somebody ask me some questions? If you did, write them down again. That's all I got right now. But anyway, that's how we're going to leave it and continue next Sunday. And since these meetings have taken the tone the way they've taken, I don't want to just stand up here and just lay things on the line and be a rough customer to some of the brethren I know and all. I don't mean that, although in one way I do, I'll be honest with you. But there's one thing where compassion comes in, and that's you people, as you pray daily. Pray for the people that have been having hard times with ministers. Where there's no love there, where there's opportunity taken by what Brother Branham said to use a formula which is not, as you see, lined with Scripture. And everything I've said is Scripture, and I haven't twisted anything in the Scripture. It's right here. You can read it the same as I can read it. You can see it. There's no twisting. I'm not trying to take anybody from something good. I'm trying to lead away from what can be wrong and is wrong into what is right. And I have your welfare at heart. Or I wouldn't be preaching it, because, see, I already know these things. I wouldn't have to tell you, if it's just for me. A gift does not operate for the man himself, it operates for the people. And so to know the word of the Lord and understand the fivefold ministry that you're trying to do should help you. And you know what your input is, you know what the minister's input is, and by the time we're finished, by the grace of God, any questions that come up, we can answer with the help of the Lord, but Brother Branham said. And as a church, we can put our foundations in the Word of God. And as a people speaking with the same mind. This, I hope you're getting what I'm trying to get across to you, brother, sister. I'm not here, look, I am here and I'm not here. For this reason. For one mind. There can't be several minds in the pulpit. There can't be a mind coming to you. If you feel I'm wrong, write it on a piece of paper or come and see me. But this church can only have one mind. I am trying to have that mind through that person to me and the Word. I'm trying. And if I'm off, I've got to answer to God. I don't want to answer to God every. I want to be right. So if you find anything there, you let me know. On questions of conduct and things, that's a different story. Although bring it up. But the major thing is speaking the same Word. Knowing this Word. Because that is the revelation this hour, what we count on. And from that, the others will come into expression. I believe, I hope you believe, with all your hearts, I know something is coming for that man. It's a word of God fulfilled in human flesh, like it was in that man there. Elijah must truly come. Malachi 4. That's the word of God in human flesh. We in the same boat. So let's rise and be dismissed. Again, our Father, we thank you for the time we spent with your word here. And we believe, Lord, that though we hammer hard on these things, it's for one purpose, because the Word of God is a rock, the Word of God is a sword. Not trying to run any person down in particular, Lord, but we know this one thing, that I stand here with this same Word. If I say thing, Lord, and I do not live that Word, then, Father, I am just exactly what you said in the Scripture. What kind of a man that teaches one thing and does another? What kind of a man is he? You've laid it out in the Gospels. You've laid it out with your Word, and, Father, I want it to be known in my heart, the hearts of others, the minds of others. I got my problems, sure I do, but I can be the man that you want me to be, Lord, the same as every woman and man and child in this congregation can be what you want them to be, and by the grace of God will be, because, Lord, we're throwing our lot onto your word. And, Lord, where we're off of this word, we pray you'll correct us. I don't know where we're off at this point. Some little thing here and there that might be bothering me. But I cannot see where we're wrong in preaching the presence and the power of God, because it's real. And preaching, Lord, the appearing which is real, right, absolutely, Lord, looking at the present hour, seeing the church come in divine order. Father, all these things we're convinced of. We're confirmed in them, Lord, that this is real. The one thing, Lord, we know that we're short of is a dedicated, simplistic zeal that is the life itself, Lord. But, Father, we're depending on you to help us there, because this is one place we feel that we're literally where Paul was mentioning, oh, man, he said, to do good, I want to do so bad, and I find myself here and there not doing it. Lord, yeah, Lord, it looks like we're just a little bit too puny for such a strong word. But, Father, if you release the strength of that word, we won't be puny anymore. We won't be, Lord. So we just ask you to help us now to grow in grace, knowledge, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and meditate upon the word this week and pray for those that are having a tough battle, because we know many of them are. Even on the verge of moving, Lord, we realize that. Help the people to pray for these dear souls out there that are like-minded to be able to stand every...